You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. You are about to listen to a replay of Sunday, January 23rd, 2022, Sunday service. Please enjoy the worship team's music and a message from Pastor Gordon.
Victory, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. All my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Let's praise him this morning. Give him a praise offering from your heart.
Our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been faithful through every storm.
A good God. Amen. Let's allow Him to fill us up this morning with His Holy Spirit.
Spirit, come and fill. for your presence, Lord. Come and fill me up. And Lord, let your mercy wash away all of my sin. Fill me completely with your love once again. I need you. I want you. I love your presence. I need you. I want you. I love your presence. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your mercy wash away
here this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Make our
I think we should give a thank offering to our group that is up here doing a great job. I used to be a part of a worship team, and there's a lot of work that goes into choosing of songs, playing the songs. You have to play them. You can't just choose them. So thank you, you guys. That's very great. This morning, I want to look at some scripture, and I was told one time when I was first starting to pastor that the job of the pastor, how many of you know what the job of the pastor is? Well, let me tell you in short form. It's to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So I hope I do both this morning. How many of you believe God's got a plan, a big plan, a plan that goes way beyond what we understand? He invites you and I to be part of that plan. By the way, he's inviting us to be part of his plan, not necessarily your plan. So I want to look at that this morning a little bit. It's called the doctrine of first intent, if you're into taking notes. I want to say this right up front. God saw the end from the beginning. Everybody with me so far? The end, he saw the end, and he started the beginning. You have to realize that because some of the things I'm going to say here in a minute. But he's actually shooting for something, and us as a church need to shoot for the same thing. So any agenda that doesn't line up with his agenda, he doesn't resource. You follow me? If it doesn't line up with his idea, you can work yourself crazy, and he doesn't resource that. You can get tired doing it even. And then we end up, you know, a couple of weeks ago, pastor said a scripture that really bothers me. They said, "Lord, Lord, but we cast out demons in your name, and we did this and we did that in your name." And he said, talk to me, "I never knew you. Who the heck are you?" Well, I probably didn't say heck. Probably said something more, you know, sanctified and stuff like that. But anyway, he has an agenda, and even if you're doing something that looks like his work, if it's not connected to his plan, you're done. So, doctrine of first intent. How many of you realize in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the scripture says to us, to the whole world, that God created us in his image. So we should have some family traits, should we not? Come on, in my family, my mom and dad got together and created me. And a couple others. Actually, three others. And if you looked at us, you could tell we were theirs. Family traits. Now, in my particular family, we were farmers. So what do you suppose was the family business? Farming. Yep, that's what we did. So we should have the family traits and the family business at heart. That family business is set up by somebody other than you. You are simply a steward. Fair enough? Mm-hmm. We are stewards. Now, I wrote a couple thoughts down. One of the things in the garden, oh, this is really limiting. Sorry for this. I'm going to try this and see how it works because I'm not used to being stuck. So the family business in Genesis was to do what? How many of you know what was supposed to happen in Genesis? I missed that. Again? Look after the garden. All right? Now, steward the earth. So my job is to line up with his intentions and steward his stuff and my stuff, because he gives me his stuff. Therefore, it's his stuff, really. I'm to steward that in his direction, where he is shooting for at the end. See, if we get that, we suddenly realize that we are part of a continuum. So, let's just say God's intention was to have Jesus, scripture, I'll get back up there where I have my notes. The scripture says that Jesus was preordained for the crucifixion. Amen. Right? Yeah. So the end is over here, and Jesus is here. And the beginning was there. So the beginning had to lead to the crucifixion of Christ, correct? So when God chose Abram before he became Abraham, he chose Abram. It wasn't by accident, because Abram was to produce something along the way to get to Jesus. Is that correct? If that's correct, then what we have is a continuum. God has got a plan over here, and so he takes the beginning and makes the beginning work toward the end. So, church, what is his plan for the end? Because if we miss it, we're wasting our time.
Eternal life.
That's part of it. Eternal life is part of it. Well, actually, eternal life becomes whenever you accept Christ. You get eternal life. So the end, I'll talk to you a little bit more so that I'm not trying to answer questions for you here today. I'm actually trying to create questions for you here today. Because too often the church expects answers that the pastor or someone else digs around and finds the answer. I want you to do the digging, because you need to hook up with Jesus and his plan. Now, I better get back up there. You know why they put this podium up here? It's so short people can be seen. And I happen to fall into that category. Let me give you two scriptures so you can see I'm not a heretic. 1 Peter 1, 19 through 21 talks about Jesus being foreordained before the foundation of the world. The intent was for Jesus before the thing began. Second scripture, Acts 2, 23. He being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Jesus being predetermined. It was the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God saw the end. Fore being forward, right? He saw the end. You say, Gord, what are you trying to do with us this morning? Well, what I'm trying to do is build a case for this, that you sit here today by the design of God. Those of you who are listening by radio, you are invited to be part of the design of God as well. So God is a strategic thinker. How many of you ever thought of God as a strategic thinker? Some of us have. He's a strategic thinker, and he invites you to have the same family trait. A strategic thinker. All right. Getting it right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, if you have your scripture with you this morning. Matthew chapter 11 is one of those scriptures that I've heard preached, and I have preached, but I want to bend your thinking this morning. It goes like this, the last two verses, I think it is. Well, I'm going to leave you to do the proper thing, which is to read both before and after. I'm just going to read 28, all right? Here we go. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Several things we should take note of on this scripture. Number one, this is an invitation. God is inviting you to hook up, connect with him, and that connection is very interesting. Family traits again. Notice the wording. Come to me. He wants you to come. He's already came. He's already came. You just come. So the first of all, it's the invitation to come, and I want you to see something that is a bit aggravating. It's an idea if you're weary and heavy laden, which most of us can relate to. and I will give you rest. Notice this wording. Take my yoke and learn from me. Take that yoke upon you. So I want you to see this and see it and understand it. This isn't about you, my friends, as much as it is about you acknowledging him as the one who's in control. Please notice, the scripture doesn't say, come and I'll give you my yoke. It doesn't say that. Jesus has already got a yoke. Does everybody understand a yoke? A yoke is used to be, still is if you have horses and you harness them up. The yoke is a thing that hooks this animal, maybe an oxen, and this oxen together so that they can pull probably twice or three times as much. All right? So he says to you and I, come and take my yoke upon you. Jesus doesn't say, I'm taking your yoke upon me. Please, you got that? You are submitting to his yoke, not him to your agenda. Too often the church sets out its own agenda. Church, remember, is us, the people. Sets out its own agenda and expects God to line up. Get in line, Jesus, because we have a plan. And boy, is it a plan. It'll glorify you and us as well. We didn't. Usually we put it reverse to that. Oh, Lord, it'll glorify us. And, you know, the side effects will be that you get some glory too. No. It's us taking on his yoke. What does that mean to you? Talk to me for a second. What does that mean to you? We're united with him. Okay, perfect. We get strength from him. What else? Ah, we actually have to follow him. Oh, okay. Let him steer. Now, I got to say to you, I find that real hard. How many of you find, you know, oh yeah, it's so easy to follow Jesus. You guys, if you're saying that, you're liars. Your noses are growing because it's just not true. It's not easy to follow him because he asks you to do things like give up your favorite sin that you call a mistake. Are you with me? You hook with him. He says the road is, you know, the yoke is going to be okay. You can handle it because he's going to carry the 90% load. Now, the other thing is, if I'm the weak guy that I really am, how does he haul the whole load? Like, basically, he's hauling the whole load. Fair enough? I'm doing my little wee bit. You know what it is? It's if you hook and you hook and I hook, pretty soon you've got the other side. You've got Jesus here. The other side is actually loaded up pretty good because I got a gift in aggravating people. You got a gift in healing people and unaggravating them. You follow me? You hook, I hook, and 40, 50, 60, 100 other people hook together, and you've got the best thing you ever saw. The invitation, my friends, is for you to hook with Jesus. But if you do, you also hook with me. I know that's a little disconcerting, but too bad, so sad. I have to hook with you. You got it? The invitation is to community with Jesus doing the biggest pull. We are part of a community. We do our thing, whatever that is, to the glory of God, not to the glory of you. There, I figured this thing out. When the church grabs that, it'll be good. So I wrote this down, and I have to say it because it's written down. You guys should know that that's not true. I don't have to say it just because it's written down. It's an invitation to become players or partners in a cosmic strategy that brings us sort of, in a sense, to the Edenic Commission. Did you hear me? In Eden was the ideal, was it not? Well, talk to me. What was going on in Eden that you think would be ideal? One of the things, let me just say, one of the things is God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and in this case, maybe you. What else was going on? Listen, my friends, I'll speed it up for you. There was purpose. When I get up in the morning, especially since I've been retired, I have to look for purpose. Before then, I was told what the purpose was. You follow me? I would say probably 90%, if not 100% of people are looking for purpose. I want to get up in the morning and be connected with Jesus in such a way that I'm asking the question of him, what's the purpose today? And everybody says, well, so you don't sin. You know, be good. Don't. I'll get to that in a minute. How many of you realize it's more than not sinning? Good grief. If that's all it is, I better leave that alone. That's what I better do. If that's all it was, I don't want to be a part of it. Because my only purpose is not to sin so I can get to heaven. Come on. If we don't have more than that going on, why should anybody come to Christ? I wouldn't even invite them. What I'm suggesting to you this morning is you can be connected to a cosmic thing that's taking place right now in this country and every other country of the world that's actually preparing for the kingdom of God to advance everywhere. Everywhere. Simultaneously. It is the most exciting thing you can be connected to. The kingdom of God. We are to become workers for justice. Are we not? Explorers of spirituality. Guess what? Just because you think... let me give you an example. Okay? I'm going to do it visually. Watch for spirituality. For those of you on the radio, I just went down and kneeled in the position of prayer that's often traditionally accepted as a spiritual act. How many of you realize when you're driving down the road in that hot rod car of yours, you can be spiritual? Explorers of spirituality. Makers and menders of relationships. That's what we're called to. That, my friends, I've had a little experience with that. That's a real... we got such sanitized language. I'm looking for a word to describe aggravation. Well, anyway, aggravation will do. If you're going to be a mender and maker of relationships, you better get ready for tough times. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? That's the truth, whether you like it or not. To mend it and to make it takes energy. Okay, so if I want to make a friendship with Bob, what should I do? Don't tell Bob, just tell me. What should I do to have a relationship with Bob? A friendship with Bob? Spend time? I haven't got time. Oh, I'm retired. Right, I forgot. Okay, do you follow how? Okay, what else should I do besides spend time? Praying, sharing. What else? Anything else? Take him for coffee. He's always wanting to go for coffee. I can't afford that. You know, I'd go with the if it's still a buck a cup, but no, it's $4 a cup now. So anyway, okay, so go for coffee. Let me tell you some more. Just a thought, so it'll run through my mind. And you know how convoluted that could be. What about finding out what his next big project is that he needs to get done? What about finding out if there's a way that you can connect him and you doing something for someone else? Follow me? If you're going to make a friendship, it's going to cost you. If you're going to mend one, Bob and I are now at odds with each other, okay? I hope you don't mind this, Bob. It's too bad if you do. It's too late. We're on the air. So Bob finds that I'm offensive, and I've bugged him somehow, which I can't imagine how. But anyway, now we have to mend this thing. What does it take to mend something? Come on. Apologies? Hey, I've never done anything wrong. How can I apologize when I'm right? Oh, you nailed me first right off the bat. Swallow my pride. And maybe even his in some ways, because he's proud. I've been offended. How many of you know that offended people like being offended? I know, because I was one. We are called to enter into this cosmic journey toward the end, which is God's kingdom's rule in our lives. And this is one of the things he asks us to do. Not easy stuff. Last thing I wrote down is create beauty. How many of you like art? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of you. So do I. I just like your art because mine's not so good. However, if you ask me if I like architecture, I like playing in that. You too? Oh, good girl. I'm glad you do, because that's important. Young people, old people, we need to be creative, and we need to be beautiful, create beauty. Because you know what created beauty does? How many of you have been to the Bouchard Gardens? I have not, but how many have? Oh, man, a whole lot of you. Were you just mildly impressed with it? No. You were impressed. It's beauty. Beauty draws out things in us humans. And if there's anything needed in our culture today, is beautiful things. Because right now, it looks so divisive and hurtful. So if we create something beautiful, by nature, people look at it and say, I like that. And remember, you and I have family traits, and that should point to God. So if you're a lawyer or want to be a lawyer, be good at it. If you're a cattle rancher, be a kingdom cattle rancher. If you're a book writer, glorify God and his kingdom in your books. If you just like art, do it to the glory of God. Because we're invited to yoke with Jesus Christ. You know, I never checked my time when I started. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. Okay, perfect. I like it when it doesn't matter because you could be here quite a while. Well, no, you guys could get up and walk out too. That's right. I forgot about that part. All right, let's just go for... I mentioned it just earlier. You know, when I came to Christ, some... I don't know. Probably 40 years ago, 45 years, 46 years ago, or whatever it is. People were just trying to get people into the kingdom, well, into the church, to be truthful. And, you know, because we're into numbers. How many of you realize that the churches, generally speaking, are into numbers? We've got more than the, and you put your, okay? Well, that's really not the goal. But when I came to Christ, somebody told me, my life would get better. They lied to me. Because it didn't get better. Got hard. They also told me my main goal was to come to Jesus so I would escape hell. That is not the main goal. They also told me one of my main jobs was to not sin. Now, they had a list of sins. Back in those days, I know for you young people this is not the case, but back in those days, if I wore these clothes to this service, I would be ushered out the back door. Okay? Some of you are old enough to know this. Yeah, and you, what were you doing leading worship in jeans, for crying out loud? Cowboy boots. That's a truth. So they had a list of sins. I shouldn't sleep around, which is very good. I didn't do that. That was all good. So I passed that one. Tick! Not to swear. So, partial tick on that one. It was just like, forgive me, I'll use the word that I actually used. It was damn. I'm not sure. I thought that was possibly a swear word. I wasn't sure, so that's a partial tick. Then there was, you weren't to smoke. Tick, I didn't do that. Not to drink. Partial tick. So I was doing pretty good. I had partial ticks and ticks. A couple where I failed, and I thought, man, am I doing good. I'm not sinning. So what do you suppose I was always watching? The sin list. Come on. Isn't that what the church is about? Don't sin. So they keep telling us about all the sins that we could do. You know, and for God's sake, my friends, if that's the message, get a different one. Because the message is actually you've hooked up with Jesus. And so your job is, yeah, sure, live a life that's sanctified. There's no problem with that. But that's old stuff, friends. The new stuff is, what can I do today to help along the agenda of God to the end? Because if you hook up to that, you're sinning. You might even forget about. You could. It could happen that you go, wow, I don't drink. Complete tick. You follow me? I don't swear. Well, I still have a partial tick on that one. How many of you have got a partial tick on that one? I'm glad to see that. I'm not asking for hands because I don't want all your hands up. That's what I don't want. You follow where I'm at. My God called me to something greater than sin management. And sin management should be something we do, I suppose. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to not have that problem near as much. I still wrestle with things. How many of you still wrestle? You know, you've been following Jesus for 100 years, and you still wrestle. Yeah. That's just honesty. Simple honesty. So my agenda, the thing that I'm hooked into, is bigger than just getting saved and avoiding hell and getting to heaven. It's involvement here, now, in the kingdom of God. You do realize in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, that's the Lord's Prayer, by the way. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done somewhere, I think. Okay, Lord? No, it actually says, you You need to grasp this. This is the disciples. Oh, forgive me, I get excited periodically. This is the disciples, the servants of Almighty God, who are actually walking with him. Right? Now, I don't know about you guys, that kind of be cool. Could you, you know? Actually, the truth is, he's still walking with us if we want to be close enough. But anyway, it would be nice to be able to physically see him. Hi, Jesus, how are you doing? Well, Gord, I'm not doing too bad. Oh, that's good. Why do you mean not too bad? I could play that out forever. But anyway, the disciples are concerned enough about prayer. They say to him, give us the model prayer. So he does. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's talking relationally. We're talking about a God who is in a position of authority. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we respect you. Fair enough? Close enough? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you suppose it's done in heaven? Perfectly. There is no other way to answer that. And then it goes on. It talks about forgiving one another, etc., etc. But I want you to hear this morning his kingdom to come. Jesus actually thinks, somehow or other, his kingdom's coming here. Go figure that out. Well, I got a suggestion for you. It is coming. In its fullness, when he comes, it will be consummated. His kingdom will be finished. It will be set up. And guess what, friends? If you're just hanging out, just hoping to get through, that's a sad state of affairs. Because the scripture tells us we're to rule and reign with him, does it not? Now listen, if you're to rule and reign with him, maybe we should start practicing now. Fair enough? If I'm going to rule and reign, in other words, how do I handle my ecology? How do I handle politics? How do I handle law? How many of you realize this is all part of kingdom? Well, come on. Here's the deal. We say it. Oh, Jesus, you're our king. We have no clue what we're actually saying. King means he rules somewhere, does it not? And if he rules, he has rules. They're not hard. They're not terrible rules. What they are is rules that give us life and life eternal. So we should start practicing because we're called kings and priests in the book of Revelation. Another translation actually puts it this way, a kingdom of priests. No matter how you look at it, the word kingdom is in it. And if he's king, he has things for us to do. So that's the invitation. He brings us to that point. He loves us so much. Scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's whosoever, believes, which should not perish. Is that correct? Yep, it is. God loves the world. How many of you realize the word world means organized systems? That's what it actually means. So God so loved the organized systems that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, that's everybody in this room and those by radio, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I don't have time to dig that one around for you, but it's pretty exciting when you start to see it as organized systems. Drawing it to a close here, Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1, talks about the renewed mind. Let's just read that for quickly. I think I've got 4 minutes. Guys there? Therefore, I'm going to start with verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the world's systems of organization. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformed thinking. Conformity to a new way, my friends. The Lord wants us to be conformed to His way. And His way brings life, and that eternally. That invitation is for us to think like Him. Transformed thinking. I no longer need to be the center of the universe. I'll tell you, that's a real big deal. How many of you realize that there's a lot of people that are the center of the universe? If the car doesn't start, you blame somebody else. It's not that you haven't kept the maintenance up, it's just that somebody else is at fault. I am the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me, and if it doesn't, I'm not happy. We need to be transformed into some different way of thinking where, Lord, give us every opportunity to address the issues that we face with the humility of Christ. This God that we serve is one that is not stingy, my friends. So when you hook up to Jesus and you take on His yoke, all the resources of the universe are there. Let me conclude by saying, if God speaks through Scripture, and we know He does, He is then commissioning us toward the end. So everything we do, every single thing we do, should aim to the end, which is where His kingdom rules within our lives. And could I be so bold to suggest in our world? The beginning scripture in Genesis reminds us that we are to have family traits. The closing scripture is that we're to have transformed thinking. May those two things come together for you. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. We'll close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for the chance to gather together this morning. We ask that you just bless those that are listening by radio. Lord, we ask that each one of us that are here would be blessed as well.
Thank you for listening to this service. Have a great rest of your day.